In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Brothers and fathers, what's the big deal about water? When I was a child, my mother continually begged me to drink water. The well water that came from the faucets of our rural home was sparkling, mineral-laden, and sweet. How I miss that water today. Without water, humans fail quickly. You can do without food for some days, some of us longer than others. But water is a much more immediate need than food. It's one of the basic building blocks of life, made up of hydrogen and oxygen atoms. Its importance and ubiquity should give us a hint as to why the Lord provided it and then used it to bear new life to those who are baptized with it. The face of the deep becomes a fit throne for the Spirit of God at the beginning. Water is divided from water to give dry land. The first creatures teem from the water. This primordial element was present when life was conceived by the voice of God in the majestic, "Let there be," through which the Word of God ordered all things. And St. Peter in our text says, the earth was formed out of water and through water by the Word of God. So did God create water for the sake of baptism, or baptism for the sake of water? Was water only a divine afterthought? Was baptism only a divine second thought? Like God said, whatever am I going to do with all this water? Oh, I know, baptism. And of course, at one level, it just doesn't matter, because we have a divine command to baptize with water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so the why isn't important, because all in this matter is sufficient is God's word to establish the church's baptismal practice without explaining a particular reason for it. But on the other hand, it really does matter. Baptism was not given to the church for the sake of water. Water doesn't have priority in this gracious act of God. The water connected with the word also has this wonderful for you character to it. This is the gracious work of God in this wondrous sacrament. That's why our small catechism says, certainly not just water, but the Word of God in and with the water does these things, along with the faith that trusts this Word of God in the water. And so water alone does nothing. And in baptism, it doesn't even remove earthly filth. But the water is never alone. It's always used in connection with God's divine command. With the Word of God, it is a baptism. God's speech makes all and gives all. His speaking creates water and stakes it out for a use, not just to give life, but to give the new life, which is Christ's. Our baptismal rite says, through the baptism in the Jordan of our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. Luther might be accused of overdoing it a bit, and he has been because of the flood prayer. But you see, Luther is praising God's use of created things to deliver into our possession God's superabundant gifts. God is saving the world, created out of water and through water, using water. Christ fulfills all righteousness when he treads the verge of Jordan, and in so doing, our baptism is filled full of righteousness. His righteousness is in the water. The Word puts it there in the Jordan. The Word puts it there in our own fonts. Everything has been made by him, and his creation is precious to him. Even and especially after the fall. And so he does not condemn it to the airy, fairy, Gnostic salvation of pure spirituality. No. He uses humble means. Means that arise out of the incarnation of God's own Son of the Virgin. He was enfleshed, clothed in creation. The Father's most precious gift, who came from the water and through the water delivered his righteousness to those who now live by the Word of God. And so baptism isn't some awkward add-on to our religion, but it is at the center of saving our divinely created flesh out of water and through water by the Word of God. There are those, of course, who deny water any role at all in our salvation, who denigrate the divine use of the material world. They deem it unworthy for God to tie his divine grace to mere matter. They want a more fully spiritual brand of Christianity, disconnected from the things of this world. And yet, what do you do with the first chapter of Genesis then? How do you get around God's willingness to place his hands into creation? And created it not just good, but very good. He formed man of the dust of the ground and spirited him into life with the kiss of breath. The Lord has chosen to redeem those who are flesh by bearing that same flesh of which we have been made. God has a decisive prejudice to save what he has created and becomes part of that creation by spiriting into Mary's womb his Son, who would, by that incarnation, remake the common clay. He has judged it right that salvation should come when creation's stuff bore his uncreated and eternal Son. This judgment he made from eternity. And so, let's not say that this is impossible with God when he says he has done it. Why then should we be surprised that water, clear water, should bear the gifts of the death with Christ and resurrection into the new life with him? Why are we incredulous that God has knit forgiveness into water through its connection with his Word? Who would say that God could not do this when he has promised that he would do exactly this. Out of water and through water, by the word of God. Amen.